It is less rough inside. This is Dr. Herbert O. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, School of the Master, Worldwide Healing Ministry, and stuff like that, bringing you instant illumination. It is less rough inside. All of us feel sorry for ourselves, and we think, gee, isn't it too bad that we have these incidents that go into our life where we stub our toe. You like that one? I always use that. Or Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg and I watched a show entitled
The Blue Butterfly.
It's a Canadian film, and it's quite a touching film with deep intrinsic values to it. And they watched the film and they thought, that film is just really something. It really is a film that touches your heart, that touches your soul, that makes you feel it has values that are just beyond imagination. And it does. And then they watched how it was done. They watched the little feature that told how the film was made in the jungles and all the details about it. And with every little detail they told, which was a true detail and a lovely detail, they took away some of the magic of the film. They took away the magic of the film 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a dozen or more times with each little incident that they saw. They told how the film was made. And really, all they had to do to tell how the film was made was to say one thing. They went down to where? Brazil?
Costa Rica.
Oh, just down there. They went down to Costa Rica, and they had never been in the jungle before. And all of them went through the jungle without any previous experience, which made the movie all the more realistic. And they did a good job. But then they went on to say other things. They went on to say how certain things caused them a little fear and trepidation because things happened and what have you. And all of this tore away from the fabric of the film itself. Now, we are doing a great deal of talking and studying about stem cells. And as we talk about stem cells, we're talking about the birth of 10,000 stem cells in the brain every day. Now, you have no idea how this is happening. You don't know how these stem cells are coming out. Are they blooming like a bunch of little seeds that are popping out in our brain? How are those stem cells being born? Now, look, they are not remanufactured cells. They are brand new cells that have never been before. They have never been in existence in your brain as a cell before. And it's not dust that landed on your brain or something like that. Now, I am going to tell you the secret. I'm going to take away the cover and let you know. What happened is that I am God. Okay? Mm-hmm. And as God, I am the creator of all in my creation. And so, in myself, I created me, busily at work, with a bag of cells, working on my brain, and dressing the stem cells around there so they could, you know, come up at a different time. Now, I put in, immeasurable cells, and then every day 10,000 of these cells pop into existence. They pop into life. So it's a garden of my mind, you know, that I nurture and I love and I fertilize it and I moisten it and so on. And then these cells, 10,000 a day, come up. Brand new ones, never been touched by the light of day before. Okay. Now, these little cells are little cells. They're like plant cells. And these little plant cells are coming out. Now, Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Pew. You know, it's not exciting. You and you and you and I are going to think of the cells of our brain as though they were the seeds of a plant. And all of the limitations of a seed of a plant, we're going to have there. We're going to need the dirty dirt for it to grow in, you know. We're going to need the fertilizer for it to mature. We're going to need a predecessor to it. What kind of cell is it? A celery cell? A petunia cell? A rose cell? You know, what kind of cell is it? See, right away, we're going to do that. Now, that is not very cool. Okay. I know that I know that I know the divine enemy knows the answer. Okay. Now, you know all things. And when you choose to know all things, you don't know everything. You only know what you choose to know. And so you take yourself away from the knowingness of the all. Okay? Now, if I were to say to you, tell me what the cells are, the stem cells that make up the body. Now, let's just make this the brain. Let's just make this even worse. Every couple of years, every cell of your body is brand new. It's not that an old cell splits and breaks. It's brand new. Now, maybe somebody's going to come along and confront me and say that's not true. They're going to say every cell is a split cell, you know. But I don't believe that. You see, I don't believe something else, too. I don't believe that an outside God created humanity or created the world or created anything. I believe that there is a divine intelligence. There is a God intelligence, if you will. There is a greater intelligence which has created everything already, and it merely expresses itself when that intelligence allows it to come forth. So when humanity came forth on earth, it was already completely designed. Not like Mark Twain's version, you know. Mark Twain has God creating man at first and doing a good job, you know. And then when he created woman, he didn't know where to put the buttocks or the breasts or the different things, and he screwed them on backwards and forwards and stuff, you know, and made a big joke out of it, you know, which is very, that's how people think about things. That's how people think about it. Now, I know I'm speaking to a very opinionated audience here, but are men better than women?
No.
You know, see what I mean? A very opinionated audience. Are women better than men?
No.
Yeah, the tendency was to say, yeah. Okay, but you see, the thing is, this is not a universal God speaking. This is an unique, individualized expression speaking. And when you can think in the universal category, then you can think in the all. Then you can start recognizing the intricacies of how the body is revealed. We fluff off cells by the tons every day. That's what I call the Bermuda, you know. You fluff these things off. That's the dust bowls underneath the bed and stuff, yeah. But we fluff them off every day. Now, that's us. That's the real self that at one time was an actual skin cell. At one time was an actual cell for some part of the body. Now, when you defecate, you go to the toilet, you fluffing off cells. Your excretion isn't just used up food matter. It's the scrapings from along the body. It's the exchange between the blood system and the body and all that stuff, and taking out old cells that way. I imagine we get rid of more old cells that way than we do many a way. But it's interesting. So, you see, if we were to know how our thinking system brings forth the stem cells or the body cells or anything else, then we would start limiting ourselves. Because then, however we would know it, if we know it as a seed, then we think of it as a seed type of operation. If we know of it as a thought, then we think of it as a thought. And even our thoughts are limited. If we know of it as the universal allness, We haven't got the capacity to understand that yet. You know? We cannot understand the universal capacity, the universal allness, because of what reason?
We would limit it, because it's relative when we, when whatever we think.
The only way we could understand it is in the relative understanding which we are. If we understand it in the absolute understanding, no, if we understand it in the absolute understanding, then we are it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, yeah, that's it. Can you understand a drop of water? No. Can you understand how a drop of water remains its uniqueness in the ocean? That seems rather difficult to conceive. Yet, it is so. And Jesus said so too. He said, if I were chopped up and thrown to the breeze, he said, and I chose, I could call forth my every cell of my body whenever I chose to have it. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting. Now, we play these games, and we, as we play these games, we think that it's so easy. And we think it's so easy to think about this, but we are really making it rough. When we look at how the films are made, and that's not our business, then we take away the joy of the film. Have you ever listened to a beautiful concert?
Yeah.
And have you ever listened to a beautiful concert, and while you're listening, you try to pick out the timpani, or the woodwinds, or the cellos, or the instruments of various kinds? Well, I took musicology when I was in college, and in the course, they had us do that. And so ever after that, at least for a long time, I kept picking out all the instruments that were playing while I'm listening to the music. And the music ceased to have its joy. It ceased to have its romance and beauty to it. And it was heavy this. And so I disbanded that, discarded that early in the game, because I like to listen to music for what it says to my heart and soul. Now, you see, this is why I say it is less rough on the inside. When we listen without knowing,
mm-hmm.
without preconceived notions, without predetermined ideas, how wonderful it is and how happy we are. And when we listen within, then everything is beautiful. Now, there are many movies, just like this one here, The Blue Butterfly, that if you know the background of the movie,
mm-hmm.
or if you know the real story, it's not a joy. I say, everything stands on its own feet, and the movie should stand on its own feet for what it is. And if you go and read the book, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
When I read Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I was thrilled. When I saw the movie, I was sad. Because, not sad against anything they did, but against their inability to do what the book did.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the book, I was flying with Jonathan. In the book, I was working with Sully. I was down on the land there at the beach as the gulls were standing there ready to receive Jonathan. And he thought for great honor. And he didn't want that. But see, I was there. And when, what was his name? Who went into the rock hard wall?
Fletcher.
Lynn Seagull. And when Fletcher miscalculated and went into that granite wall, I was there with him. And when he came to and he saw Jonathan, I was there too. But you see, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty. And there was no feeling, these are seagulls, I'm a human being, what am I doing thinking like a seagull, or what's a human being doing acting like a human, a seagull doing like a human being, you know, and you don't think that. All you think is that you live with the moment, and when the music plays, you live with the moment, and when the movie is being shown to you, you live with the moment, and you delight in it, and for myself, I think I'd be wise not to look at any of the other what do you call these, trailers and special features and stuff like that, because that's only for the intellectual.
Yeah.
The one who is not into it for the depth and meaning of it. When I saw Secret, and we looked at the how it was made, and I had great disrespect for the people in there, because they used foul language, and they were saying silly things about how they were saying important things. And when they were making this earth-shaking statement, which was really beautifully done, in the backup, it told how they were forgetting their lines and goofing and stuff, and as though that's humor. I tell you, I would like to stricken the word blooper from my vocabulary. A blooper is where an actor makes a mistake or someone makes a mistake, and it's so charming and so funny, you know. I'd like to say this. I don't believe Shirley Temple ever made a blooper. Why?
Because she knew her lines.
She was pure integrity, pure innocence. Even if she had mistaken her line, it would be said so perfectly you would never know that it was a mistake. Because she flowed with it. She flowed with it. When children talk to each other and they make a mistake in saying something, they don't say, "Oops, I made a mistake." They just flow with it. They say, or you can say it this way, you know, or whatever, you know. But see, this is the magic. Now, are you ready for that kind of magic in your life? If you are, then stick with the original whenever possible. Because the original is the original purity and integrity. And that's who and what we are. So, it's less rough inside. So come on inside and listen with your heart, your soul, your love, your unconditional love. Know that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.